Well, Merry Christmas. If I didn't get to say that to you earlier, before Christmas came. Actually, it could probably have been not just the day after. I'm getting an echo here, Nolan. Maybe you need to turn to that one thing. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me okay now? All right. Yeah, so instead of the day after, it could have been days after, but I just said day because I was lazy. I didn't want to put the S. Actually, I did this morning. Last night, I said, I'm not going to do a PowerPoint. And I woke up in the morning, I said, I better do a PowerPoint because I know after Christmas, as I don't know if you felt like this after all the wrapping, but they call it the Christmas hangover where you just rip it and all that stuff, and you're sitting there after it's all done, you're kind of going, oh my, what happened? So it's just one thing that happens for people from this part of the world, and maybe not as many as other areas, but we like our Christmas day. So I hope that you enjoyed it. I did get a new Bible for Christmas. You know, nice, big, bold print. Hallelujah for that. It's amazing how the years go by that you just enjoy bigger letters. Yeah, so it's wonderful. In Luke, there was a decree right there. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Well, you know what that would happen if President Biden says, hey, everybody, you got to go back to where you were born, and we're going to take a census, and you know, so we can raise taxes, right? It's all about money, pretty much, right? It's all about money. And of course, you know, this is what you're going to see. You know, this is my life in L.A. I grew up in this. I in Bangkok as well and in other places, and still don't like it. In fact, even when I'm waiting more than 30 seconds at a light, I start getting a little itchy, you know, stuff like that. So you'd think I would have learned some patience, but God, I guess I failed that part, and He's still working on me there. But just in those days, though, back when Caesar Augustus made this decree, you know, they didn't have Christmas. They didn't even know what Christmas was, though the Israelites were looking for their Messiah, right? But it's just what a bother. You know, they have to travel some people had to go, you know, long ways. You know, how are they going to get there? Walking, camel, donkey, I don't know how they did it. But it was just chaos, you know, disturbing times. And a lot of times people are just saying, when can we get back to normal? You know, can we get back to normal, please? Let's get this done and get back home and get back to normal. Well, you know what? Normal would not be the same again. Because in all of that chaos, as we know, there was a child that was born, a long-awaited child of the Israelite nation. But not only the Israelites, because we know that others, these wise men that we talk about, you know, these people, astrologers, or these people, learned people who are in the books, and they're probably reading lots of different prophecies from different nations around there, that whole area. They probably heard Daniel's messages about this great king. They probably heard these other prophets who weren't even godly men, like Balaam, who talked about this scepter being risen in Judah. And they're going, well, what is this? And they knew there's a great king going to be born. Well, a child was born. You know, as we continue learning, you know, the Word, if you look in John, the Word became flesh. The Word, that means God Himself. God became flesh. The angelic host proclaimed it. The shepherds witnessed and spread it around. And, of course, the Magi were coming to town. Not Santa, but the Magi. All this was going on. So if God was trying to keep this secret, He wasn't doing a very good job, even in all this chaos. Because if He wanted to keep it a real secret, He wouldn't have had all that stuff going on. But I think the angels were saying, Lord, this is such a great moment. We just got to get out there and sing. We got to proclaim this. And they proclaimed it to these shepherds. Says, well, proclaim it over here to these shepherds because, you know, it's not going to be so big. You know, if they went to Jerusalem, then it really would have stirred things up, right? And Bethlehem's only 6 miles away from Jerusalem. So it's not, even though it's a small town, things can get around as well. So normal, what do you mean by normal these days or back then? Everything's changed. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, yes, we think about all you've done for us on that Christmas day way back. During those chaotic times, Lord, during an empire that was ruthless. And yet, you sent your Son to be born of man in a special way, a supernatural way, that you could work wonders. Wonders that only you can work. Work the impossible for man. It is impossible to save ourselves, but you knew that you could save us, and you knew how to do that, and you sent your Son for us to do just that. So thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this time together. Bless this time. May your Holy Spirit move amongst us. May you bless me with the words and just to be in tune to your heart in this time, that you will receive all the glory and praise. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. No ordinary king. If you looked at Luke 1:31-33, just kind of going back a little bit to Gabriel, the angel Gabriel talking to Mary, delivering this wonderful message to her, but it was troubling to her too. She was going, whoa, what is this? And how is this going to be? And all these questions were going through her head. But eventually, she bowed her knee and said, yes, let it be as you say. Let it be. And then she sang a beautiful song unto the Lord. So, you know, he's the Son of the Most High. He's going to be on the throne of David. And if you talk to those people back then, when you talk about the throne of David, you're talking about something very special to the Jewish people. They're thinking, when you say throne of David, when you say son of David, they're thinking one thing. They're thinking of Messiah. The Messiah. And they're excited. They're long-awaited Messiah. They want a deliverance. They yearn for it. And then going on, his kingdom will never end. This is not an ordinary kingdom. It is a kingdom of eternal consequence, of eternal blessings, eternal foreverness, something that just keeps going and going. Very different from the kingdoms of the world, right? Where they are always trying to stamp down people. There's injustice, there's wars because I have to get more land. Is that going on today? Still today. You know, I don't know about you, but this is what I want, and I got the power. You must submit, or if you don't, I'll stamp on you. Pretty much. So they weren't thinking in the same terms. You know, Jesus' kingdom is different from the kingdoms of today or back then. And as you go back into here, into our verses there in chapter 2 of Matthew. And as the Magi, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So they saw a star. All right, so they saw this happening. And they watch things very carefully, and they're always reading and trying to understand things. And the once in a while, maybe something in the heavens would just show up, and there would be a king that was born. All right? So, and whether this was God's doing, just preparing them for what he was going to do when Christmas Day came, I don't know. But all I know is that when they saw the star, they were thinking, oh, there's a great king born today. And maybe by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving them, which he could do, they decided to follow. And, they weren't really following the star because it arose, but they went, if they were following the star made them do a wrong turn. I don't know if you ever done that, but have taken a left when you should have taken a right, or did a U-wee instead of going straight, or whatever, So if they were following the star wasn't guiding them too well because they were led to the incorrect place. So they saw the star arose, but they followed, they went because they said there's a great king. Well, where would you go if you're thinking about a Jewish king being born, a great king? Where would you go? You'd go to Jerusalem, wouldn't you? Where the royalty should be. So that's where they went. All right? And then it says, when King Herod heard this, when he heard he was disturbed. He was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. See, he understood these terms. See, when we say Messiah, we don't really say it in our, we just say Christ, right? And a lot of times we say Jesus Christ. And a lot of times when you're growing up, and even for me, you just think Jesus Christ. Christ is his last name. It's his name, right? But no, Christ, when you look at Messiah and you look at the Greek, it is the Christ. It is not a name. It is a title. And when you look further at that name Christ, it really means the anointed one. God's the Father's anointed one. In fact, King Herod started to understand a little bit more that this was the final king of God. God's final king for earth. He was a great king. So when you bring it all together, really the title is this, the King. Jesus the King. When you say Jesus Christ, what you're really saying is Jesus the King of everything, the universe. For everything was created for him, by him, through him, right? He sustains all things. He became the image of the invisible God, where God is, all fullness. He was so happy, so pleased to have all this fullness, this perfectness dwell in his Son. The King. The King. Herod knew this. I really believe he did. So the question is, and I think Herod probably asked this maybe himself, is Jesus my king? Is Jesus your king? Something to think about. Is he your king? Because a lot of times, I know in my life, he isn't. I become king of my life. And when I do that, I miss out on a lot of things that God has for me. See, when we're not in step with the King, when you don't come and listen to his orders, his purposes, to hear his heart, and to be able to walk in his paths that he has set for us, the purposes that he has for us, but when I decide to say, no, I'm going over here, and I'm doing this and that, I'm going to do this without even coming to God, coming to my King, well, I'm left out on all these blessings, all these things. See, Jesus is special because you remember Jacob's ladder? Remember Jacob when he was on his, he didn't have a pillow, so he put his head on a rock, but he saw this ladder, the staircase between heaven and earth. Who is it representing but Christ, the King, who brought where through Christ, heaven and earth met. Only in Jesus were heaven and earth met together. He brought heaven to earth. And if he did that and we're following him, we're to do the same thing. We're supposed to bring, what's that prayer? What? Kingdom? What? God, my holy, what is that prayer? What is that one? The Lord's Prayer? Your will be done on earth as what?
On earth as it is in heaven.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is to be in heaven. Or as it is in heaven, sorry. We are to be these people who bring, to make these things happen. We're supposed to bring these heavenly things down to earth, just like Jesus did for us. Powerful king. Very different from all the other kings. Is Jesus my king? That's a daily question. Maybe it's a moment-to-moment question for us. Is Jesus my king? It's challenging. It's humbling. It's annoying. I don't want him to be my king all the time. I don't know about you, but I tell you something. If I want to really be blessed and I want to be a part of this great thing that he is doing, then I better learn how to get in step with him more and more. Like that Simeon, when we're talking about him on Christmas Eve, he was in step with the Spirit of God. And God directed him to be able to proclaim Christ at that time. Because a lot of times this is what happens. We think Jesus Christ, oh, great Savior, but Christ is just this last name. There's nothing much more. And we start going into more of a relationship of convenience. Jesus Christ, he's okay. He's done some good things. He's pretty powerful. Gesundheit. But you know what? He doesn't have much influence on my life because I'm still in control. But I'll use it. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm in pain. I'm sick. Or I'm in big trouble. I'm anxious. You know, conscience really, you know, I'm a sinner. I sin really bad. You know, but, and I'll go to Jesus and then I'll just do it again next day. he's my emergency plan. Things are going wrong. Who are you going to call? Things go wrong. Ooh, you can't control it beyond you. Oh, well, it's good to have that plan B. Oh, he's a tattoo on my ankle. Or some people put rings in their nose. And, you know, we got friends that have tattoos almost all over their body, you know. It's just a tattoo. Jesus. Or is it just a friend? Oh, yeah, I can talk to him anytime. But he doesn't really have much for me, you know, but I can talk to him. He doesn't have much influence on my life. No, you know, if Jesus was a king, then he is king. See, when a king is born, people must choose. When a king is born, people must choose. See, Herod knew that. He knew that. He knew, oh, a king is born in my area? Oh, this isn't just a king. This is a Messiah. And now his hair is starting to stand up on end. He's starting to go, oh, no. See, Herod, he was a great king. You know, he was brilliant. He's the one that built the temple into its beautiful, a spectacular display of architecture for the Israelites in Jerusalem. He was also supposed to be a very great military strategist. But he was also very ruthless. See, he desired to see his kingdom continue on. Generation to generation, generation. He wanted to pass down his legacy, his kingship, to his sons and to their sons and to keep on going. And now here's a king, the Messiah, And if he understood what this really meant, this is the final king. This is the greatest king. This is the one that they talk about, Daniel talked about, who comes in the clouds. And he reigns forever. Oh, he can't have that. He can't have that. He was disturbed, and I guarantee you, he disturbed everybody else in Jerusalem. He was unhappy. He was ready for war. Because what could happen? Civil unrest under a king? Civil war can certainly happen. He had to stamp it out. There's a rival. His action plan, we know if you read the story, right? He went, that's why he was so interested in hearing about this Messiah. He says, where was he to be born? And in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. You know, he's talking to his chief priests and teachers of the law there. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Well, now he's starting to get really worried. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that too, that I too may go and worship him. Now, see, he didn't want to get it, you know, call up his army, you know, to get them all moving yet, all right? Probably a lot of cause more chaos, a lot more disturbance going on, probably a lot of money or whatever it is, but it made him hesitate. But he says, you know, he sent the Magi. He said, hey, when you see him, report. And then you know what he's going to do, right? Later on. And then, of course, the Magi, you know, by an angel, you know, they said, hey, you can't go back to Herod. You go another way. And they followed that, those directions. And Herod remembered, though, the timing of when the star rose. So he went to Bethlehem and he killed all the male children from 2 years old and younger. Oh yeah, if you were a king, if you're Herod, you knew the true king is coming, you're gonna stamp it out as soon as you can. See, he wasn't ready to submit to Jesus as king, though he knew he was king, but he wasn't ready to submit. So, is Jesus your king? You know, he asks us, and we were talking about this morning in Malachi, which I thought, and then a little bit more about, you know, how, you know, let me go back to that scripture. I'm going to read that there in our Sunday school class. It says here in chapter 3, verse 17, it says, On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as the Father has compassion and spares his Son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. See, there's a choice to make. When a king is born, we got to choose. Who's king? Me? You? Some other person? Or the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's our choice. See, one thing is very different about Jesus. His kingdom, not only does it just, you know, he actually cares for his people, and he's going to die for his subjects, and he teaches us to have the same type of attitude. But he allows us a choice. See, these other kings, if you go to China and the other people, these dictators, some people come, you know, they're kings, but they're really, you know, dictators or kings or whatever you want to call them. No, they want you to obey them only. And if you don't, you're in trouble. They're not giving you a choice. They're not going to give you a choice. But Jesus does. See, on the cross, when we're talking about that cross, I had to look that up too, because that was right there in Mark, on the cross of Christ, when Jesus, oh, I'm sorry, was that that one or what? Am I the wrong one? I thought I marked it. Maybe I didn't. Let's see if I find it here. But as Jesus was hanging there, who was hanging with him? Two others, right? One on his right, one on his left. One of them mocked Jesus and said, if you're the king of the Jews, then get off the cross. And he's just throwing all these things at him, right? And I thought that was kind of brave of him to do that because of his situation. Maybe I got the wrong one here. But then, so Jesus is there. You have one mocking him, and the other one on a cross was saying, hey, don't mock him. He didn't do anything wrong. And then he turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, when you go into your kingdom, would you please take me with you? And of course, Jesus' response was, yes, today you will see paradise. You'll be with me in paradise. See, he made a choice. There's a choice to be made. Right on the cross. These guys are dying. They're not going to survive, all right? There is a choice to be made. Every one of us are in the spot of those people hanging on the cross. Did you know that? Before we chose to follow Christ, we were just like those rebels on the cross, hanging there, dying. Actually, we're really dead. But we had a choice to make. A choice to say, take me into your kingdom, Jesus. I believe in you. And others are, no. You're not my king. There's something more. There's something more. I got something, other plans and stuff of that. You're not good enough for me. Or I'm not good enough for you. I hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah, but Jesus, I'm not good enough for you. And Jesus, you know, if they really thought about it and really listened to the gospel, the good news, nobody is good enough for Jesus, right? A choice to make him our king. So the new normal, there is no new normal. Really what it is, a new normal for a follower of Christ is a changed life that continues to change. They call it sanctification. Right? The Holy Spirit is within you. He keeps on moving and changing you to be more like Christ, to where you are in tune with him more and more, to where you are one of those who brings the kingdom of heaven down on earth. And it impacts all those around you in your sphere of influence and beyond. Because prayer can go around the world. Did you know that? It makes a difference. There's many, many, many testimonies of that. It's a life changer. Values are changed, right? What things that you valued are now different. Action is, you know, what are you going to do? If he is your king, what does that look like every day? What does it look like every moment? What does it look like every decision that we make? What we were talking about this morning, too, is that, you know, is there an angel right there recording everything we do? Not to condemn us, but to record it. To hold us accountable. It's interesting, isn't it? If Jesus is my king, if Jesus is your king, then what do we need to do to please him, to honor him? Well, if you look at the early church, where it first began, what was most important? The word, the fellowship, prayer. Those big three, right? And that's what we're going to have to do more and more. come before the King and seeking that. I know I haven't really talked about life groups much. We've started those up last, before Christmas, we ended the first one that we had done. But we'll talk more about that next week, about life groups and how important they can be in mobilizing the church for us, for fellowship, for the word and prayer. And also, even starting up our prayer time again, too. Maybe it might look a little bit differently, but find those who have a hunger to pray and start putting that back into action again. Because what I understand about the Word of God and how He moves by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're not praying, you're not hearing Him, you're not going to be able to follow what He has for us. And we have this whole region, mountaintop region and beyond, just waiting for us to bring this good news, this Christmas to them. They're waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for. Their king is something else right now. Yeah, but we know the answer. And God wants us to be these servants that He'll say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. See, I think each one of us who's a follower of Christ wants to hear that. So we need to bow before Him, choose Him moment to moment, and to watch Him work miracles in our lives and in the lives of the people around us and even the world. Let's pray. Father God, again, Your word is astounding, and it just can go on and on and on, and it does. It will go on for eternity. That's one thing that will always remain, is Your word. And so we thank You for that. Thank You that we have the Holy Spirit to teach us and teach us new things and remind us and warn us and encourage us. And I pray that these words are encouraging to each one of us, also a warning for us and how we are to walk, to be careful who we have as King for each moment of our lives. And help us, empower us by Your Holy Spirit to do that. We know we can't do that on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. We'll fail. But as we trust in You and rely upon You, humble ourselves before You and get in step with Your Spirit, You'll be King of our lives every moment. Thank You, Father, for this time together. May You receive all the honor and glory. We praise You and thank You in Jesus Christ's name, and all of His people say, amen. Amen.